Welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People with New York Times bestselling author Carrie Jones
and her adorable husband Sean Farrar.
Woo!
Thanks for hanging out with us as we give some
life tips
and real life marriage banter.
Let's get started now with a random thought.
Hey, it's Random Thought. And the random thought is Carrie's cranky. Sean's pretending like he's an angel. And we're going to talk about Pythagoras.
Okay. Who's Pythagoras? So he came up with some theorem?
Yeah, man. You remember your high school math. That's really good.
I hate geometry.
Well, there you go.
I utterly despise it.
Bring in the podcast up.
Because it's based on non-proven stuff. Oh, really? What's
how
the word theorem?
How do you know
theorem?
How to make buildings without geometry?
Is the word theorem based on the word theory?
How would you know how to make buildings without knowing about right angles and how to make formulas for them, which is geometry?
That's right. Not all geometry is based on theories.
You have the theory, you have a hypothesis, then you prove it, and then it becomes a theory. Theory doesn't mean it's unproven. It means it is proven in the world of math.
Really? Because I don't know. You might be right, but I'm going to look it up after this podcast. Well, I'm done doing my work for that. Are you 100% correct? You know that?
Am I always 100% correct?
Well, no. Not always.
I am always, like every single wife out there, 100% correct.
Okay.
So Pythagoras was a Greek guy, right?
Yeah.
He was a philosopher and a mathematician, as you know, right? But he was a little wonky, as many of the ancient white guys were. And Pythagoras became a vegetarian, not wonky. But he also believed that the reason that he shouldn't eat meat, is that anything with a soul should be regarded as the same as you, as a human, right? But he gets wonky because he refused to eat beans, specifically fava beans.
Why?
Because he kind of thought they were potentially vessels for the souls of the dead. And that's because their skin was fleshy and they were kind of shaped funky. So he thought they'd kind of be like being a cannibal if you ate the fava beans.
So, Pythagoras is my new best friend because now I have a fantastic argument whenever I'm talking to vegetarians. I love you, Pythagoras.
Sean's a dick today.
He is very wonky.
So anyways, this is the podcast.
We don't want to eat those beans because that bean's soul might go into the next season's bean when it grows.
I think he was just a little prissy and didn't like farting, honestly.
Probably. He was a vegetarian. Every one of his farts is probably a shark.
Oh my God, can you imagine? And those like chitons and like the ancient Greek outfits if you sharted?
That's probably a big pain in the butt.
All right. Anyways, that was our random thought, but the main point of our podcast today
is
not this. Here, let's play some funky music. Be quiet while we play it. All right. So the main point of our podcast today is actually about cognitive biases. Sean has a cognitive bias about anything vegetarian, but
that's not true. All
right.
Not anything.
So this is
a general concept.
So this podcast, we're trying a different format. So I'm going to be talking and Sean's going to be reacting.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
So that means don't read what I'm talking.
I'm not reading.
Say it. All right. So there's this guy named Sid who wrote about cognitive biases over on Medium, linked in the podcast notes. And Sid got me thinking about all the ways we make decisions based on wrong assumptions or biases. So he lays out 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about that? That's a lot of biases, 10.
Oh, I don't think it's a lot.
All right, well, I did.
Okay. It might be a lot for an article, but I think there's a lot more biases than 10. That's what I'm saying.
Well, those are like the 10 general groupings, right?
Well, yeah.
All right, so we're going to possibly do a series about this, and we're going to talk about the first two this week.
Sounds good.
It may be a cranky series, who knows? But why are we even talking about cognitive biases? Well, because as Sid on Medium says, being aware of our cognitive biases helps us to recognize their power in shaping our thoughts and opinions and attitudes and the decisions we make. right?
Yeah.
So, do you think you have any biases, baby?
Of course I do. Everybody has biases. Like, I don't care how angelic or liberal you think you are.
See? My God. You're being such a dick tonight.
Why am I being a dink?
I didn't say dink.
I know. I'm trying to keep it clean.
I said it with a C. All right. So anyways, the two that we're going to talk about are the availability heuristic and the affect heuristic. And let's start with that first one.
Okay.
What are you laughing?
Those are some fancy fucking names.
Oh my God. I thought you didn't say dick, but you said the F word.
I know.
Oh my God. Okay, so according to the Decision Lab, the availability heuristic is a bias that, quote, describes our tendency to use information that comes to our mind quickly and easily when making decisions about the future. And is basically saying, like, that memorable moments that are made influence our decisions in ways that they shouldn't.
Yeah, I can see that.
Really?
Totally. That's like when people go on a vacation, they're like, oh, I fucking love this place. I'm going to move here.
Yeah.
And then they get back home to reality, and they're like, I still love that place, but probably not going to be moving there.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's like everybody wants to move to our town of Bar Harbor.
Right.
Except us, because we already live here. Here's a great example that the Decision Lab had. It was like, they said, quote, imagine you are considering either John or Jane, two employees at your company, for a promotion. Both have a steady employment record, though Jane has been the highest performer in her department during her tenure. However, in Jane's first year, she unwittingly deleted a company project when the computer crashed. The vivid memory of having lost that project likely weighs more heavily on the decision to promote Jane than it should. This is due to the availability heuristic, which suggests that singular memorable moments have an outsized influence on our decisions.
That's 100% true fact. It's like why people remember bad stuff better than good stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
But right? That's fucking bullshit, because it's not her fault her computer crashed. Whatsoever. Just Jane didn't unwittingly delete the company project.
We're very upsetting. We're very upset.
She had nothing to do with the computer crashing.
No, I know. The whole example actually has that flaw in there.
It's a huge flaw.
Yeah, it's a big
but
flaw.
I'm not here to pick apart his example, really.
Well,
I'm just saying.
You just did.
No, I was talking more about the company people that were doing the promotion. They're idiots.
So anyways, this sucks because, like Sean just said, bad memories are easier to remember than the good ones. And that means that we aren't making our decisions logically. Let's say in a town, you have a town counselor and you don't like their opinions on certain mm-hmm. things. You only remember the ways they vote differently than you versus all the times they vote the same as you. Same for your U.S. senators or your presidents, right? Yeah. And so then when you're at the voting booth, you might be like, oh, this person voted this way about puppy leash laws and that really impacted me and I didn't like that one, even though every single other vote they made was the same as your opinion.
That's 100% true, yeah. But that's still not why I don't like most of the town council.
But anyways, the reason we do this is because our brains need shortcuts. And we like shortcuts because it's less energy that our brains use, right?
Right.
So we recall the strongest facts and the biggest memories, and usually those are bad. And the first step to avoiding this bias is to know that it exists. Right?
Right.
And maybe have a baby pause before we make our decision and think about why we're actually making it.
Well, I think that's always good advice.
Yeah, man.
If you're anything less than in a chill mood, you should always think about your actions before you act.
I know, but it's even when you're not in a chill mood. It's like the voting example or the Jane example. We remember the bad moment of Jane versus all the good moments of Jane. Even though she's had as many as whatever the hell the other guy's name was, Jack or John or something.
Yeah.
John. Yeah.
That's true. Fun.
All right. So the second.
More of humans have that flaw.
Right. But we can.
I actually don't remember any bad things that have ever happened to me.
Oh my gosh. Anyways. The affect heuristic, right? That second one is a little bit different. And according to Very Well Mind, it is a type of mental shortcut in which people make decisions that are heavily influenced by their current emotions. That's the bad mood one, right?
Sure.
Right. So essentially, your affect, a psychological term for emotional response, plays a critical role in the choices and the decisions you make. So it's just this other shortcut, and it's about how good or bad something or someone feels. And then give this example. Imagine a situation in which two children arrive at a local park to play. One child has spent a lot of time playing on swings at a neighbor's house, so he's nothing but positive feelings when he sees a swing set at the park. He immediately makes the decision that the swings will be fun, high benefit, low risk, and runs to play on the swings. The other child, however, recently had a negative experience while playing on the swings at a friend's house. When he sees the swings at the park, he draws on this negative memory and decides that the swings are a bad choice, low benefit, high risk. So basically, we are not relying on facts to make choices. We're relying on emotions to make choices. And politicians and retailers know this, and that's why they use fear to influence decisions, because fear is a really strong emotion, which makes them jerks, but clever jerks.
Can I say something?
Your whole point is you're supposed to say something.
This is the same thing as the previous.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is, because they're memories. I remember having a good time at my friend's house just a minute ago, and then I remember having a bad time at my friend's house just a minute ago.
But this, it's different because it's your current emotion. It's not your past memory, although those can influence your current emotion. It's your current emotion at that time. That's a distinction.
Okay.
What?
It's still based on memory. If it's in the past, it's a memory. It doesn't matter. I see what they're saying. I walked the 3 seconds from my friend's house to the playground with my mommy, and I'm in a good mood because I was having a good time at my friend's house. So we're going to call it a mood-based rather than a memory-based.
Right. Like, I'll never want to do a podcast again because we were cranky right before the podcast, so I'll always associate this
podcast. You were cranky right before the podcast, dear.
Yes, because you made a terrible mistake.
I will not forget that because it's a negative memory.
I thought you just said you forgot all your negative memories.
Well, I do after a couple hours, but not immediately. All right, maybe it's the emotional, it's the affect heuristic that's affecting me right now. Because it's so recent.
That's right. That's the difference.
But I can still remember how negative you were.
You were negative.
I wasn't.
You were to me because you did something that hurt me.
Oh, okay.
Because you were unthinking and uncaring.
Oh, okay. Anyways, what else we got but that I can tear apart?
There's like other examples of these two things. Like, if you tell people, all right, so for like the first one, there's an example someone has about how you ask Americans where you're most likely to have a flash flood, California or the rest of the United States. What do you think?
They're going to say California.
Why do you say California?
Because that's where all the news about flash floods comes from.
Often, yes. And because they associate earthquakes, a negative thing, with flash floods. And so they think California. But it's wrong. It's not true.
Right.
Right? And so it's that kind of...
It's fire.
But it's an illogical response that's not based on fact. You know what I mean? And so that's what those biases, these two biases, are really about. Right. And you can say, you know, we talked about fear being a political tool for politicians. But so, like, if you think about all the way back to Obama, all he was hope and change, hope and change, hope and change. And hope is another emotion that he was trying to elicit to create, you know, in an affect way.
A positive one.
Well, for him. Yeah. And a positive connection between hope and voting for Obama.
Right.
Whereas Trump was like, protectionism and fear and vote for Trump to keep you safe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting how they do that. And every single friggin' prescription commercial you ever see, they do that too.
Yeah.
So Don...
Never mind the side effects. Never mind the second hit you may grow.
Or the risk of massive, horrible death. Through gerbils. But anyways, dog tip for life is basically, like, you don't want to make automatic decisions. You want to pause and sniff and figure out, like where those decisions are coming from. Sadly, our dogs are like that. You can't just tell them to sit. They have to think about
it. Oh, yeah, they got to think about it for a long ass time.
They are going to weigh everything out.
But I believe that to be true. No matter how inaccurate these people are on Medium, I think that you should always pause for just a second and think through if you have the time to actually do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but we don't want to take the time because we want to conserve the energy for our brains.
You can make a bad decision better or you can make a good decision better. Either way, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
What do you mean, yes, sir?
Well, now I'm thinking about our argument, and maybe I just thought about all the other times where I didn't come first, and then that gave me a cognitive bias.
Yeah, probably.
But maybe you could admit you were wrong, too.
Oh, yeah, no, that doesn't happen.
The end.
Hey there. Thanks for listening. The dogs are smarter than people. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and share your heart out.
These podcasts and more are at my website, carriejonesbooks.blog.
There's even a little donation button there. Because even a dollar inspires a happy dance in Carrie.
And Sean.
But hers are much better than mine.
His are funnier.
So thank you so much for your support.
The music you hear here is made available through the Creative Commons, and it's a bit of a shortened track.
Who is the artist and what's the song?
Well, it's Summer Spliff by Broke for Free.
I love that song.
He does.
Just because of the name.
He does. Thanks for listening
so much.